Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I'm excited to be here this morning. God's got a plan this morning, and we're all operating in it already. Don't all get excited at once here. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. And Lord, once again, we do surrender to you, to your will, to the Holy Spirit. We yield control to the Holy Spirit. Bring the Father's will into our lives in this house today. We thank you that this is your time. We are your people, that you direct us, correct us, and bring us into knowledge, Lord, and understanding and insight. And we thank you for that. This morning, Lord, we want to praise you and worship you and give you glory and honor. We want to celebrate you this morning, Lord. We want to celebrate your goodness, your steadfast love, as the song says, Lord. We just bless you now, Lord. We thank you for what's going to be accomplished here today according to your will and plan, not man's. For that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. We glorify you. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready to give God his tithes and our offerings this morning? Hallelujah. You know, this is just one way that God has instituted the way to bless us. And when we understand that it's all his to begin with, then, you know, if you look at it from that light, then you're only giving him back, you know, what he's lending to you. Do you hear me? What he's lending to you. And so because it belongs to him, then it's lent to you. So we're obligated to use it in the fashion that he said. And why? Because he says that's the way it's going to be? No, because he's instituted a way of blessing us. And if we'll follow that, then the blessings will come. The first promise is when you give your tithes, he'll rebuke the devourer. Amen? But then when you go beyond that, you give your offerings, he promises that he'll bless you without measure, more than you can measure. Let's put it that way. Amen? It's a blessing to give and to sow into the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And there are people here who can testify the blessing from their faithfulness. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, Bill.
Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you so much for all the moisture that you've sent our way in the past few weeks because of this drought that we're in right now. We know that you are in charge of everything, Heavenly Father, and that you will send us what we need and when we need it. We ask you to bless each and every person that's here today, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless this offering and to multiply it so we can continue to be an influence in this community and in the world. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to, you know, words just can't express what I want to ask you for, Father, but words can't express how I know that you want to give it to us, Heavenly Father, if we will just be obedient to you. And, Father, it is true that when we bless you with our tithes and offerings, that you do open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that's so great that we can't even contain it. It's beyond our imagination, Heavenly Father. And, Father, we don't do it for our selfishness, Heavenly Father. We do it because we respect you and we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Harry and Gene. Man, for a minute there, I got excited. I thought I was going to get to sit down and get to hear Bill preach, but he quit too soon. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing what God has and what God has done in people's lives and how he ministers to us in ways that we You know, sometimes we don't really stop and think about the ways that God's blessed us and ministered to us and opened our eyes to things. But it's evident when we are able to. Again, that's when we're in fellowship, like the fellowship breakfast. You know, that's when those things can spill out. You begin to understand and get to know one another in a way that you never knew one another. And you also find the deep things of God come out of some people at that time. So, praise the Lord. There they are. Praise God. Father, once again, I come before you, Lord. We come before you. And Father, we ask for your will to be done in this house today, Lord. I surrender to you, Lord. Order my steps in your word. Guide my thoughts. Order my thoughts, Lord. Lord, we want to hear from you. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for what you've given me. But Lord, if you want to go another direction, Lord, we'll go. And we're yielded to you, Lord. It's not about us. It's about you. This is your time. We are your people. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in control and not man. So we thank you, Lord, that the outcome is going to be good because it's you and not us. We have open hearts, receptive minds, Lord, and we receive from you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I have some thoughts written down. I'll just start out with my first statement. It says, when you love someone, your heart's desire is to be with and near them continuously or always. When you are not near them, you feel alone, awkward, like some part of you is missing. You lack something or you're not complete. Jean and I, on the way up here this morning, were talking about some things. And one of the places we went to is relationships. And I want to share with you from my heart this morning. I don't know how much of this message I'll actually put in what I'm going to say, but you know, it's important to understand God created women as responders, but man was created as a responder to him, to the Lord. And the way we respond to him is the way that people are going to perceive that he is. And the way that people are going to perceive us. And it's going to affect our relationships. God set in order his plan for the way things should be. And his plan was for the man to be the head of his house, to be the one who is the leader and the, if you will, motivator to serve the Lord. But that's not possible unless you are submitted to God completely. Unless he is at the very first place in your life. I can promise you that people, your wives, your children, will respond to you men the way you respond to God. I made a statement to Gene this morning that, you know, to start this off, I was sitting, and all of a sudden it struck me. I was listening to, I think it's Charlene Check, however you pronounce that last name. And as I was watching her, the thought occurred to me in my heart, there is nothing more beautiful in this world, listen carefully, than a godly woman, a woman who serves the Lord. And on the other hand, there's nothing more handsome or desirable than a man who loves God and serves God. God designed us to respond to him. He designed coverings. And he designed for the man to be the one who sets the pace and again motivates the family system. When we're in relationships, how we respond to him is how we're going to be responded to. But not only that, how he's going to respond to us. But not only that, how we respond to him is going to set the pace for how your wife or your children respond to you. Are you with me? Now, the scripture has things to say about negative on both sides. But the point is, if things are not going well, and this is not directed at anybody, this is a general statement. If things are not going well, once again, I would admonish you, I would encourage you, consider your ways. You know, the way of mankind today is point the finger, lay the blame on somebody else, and just, you know, stand there and wonder why you're not having a good time in your relationship, why things aren't going well, why things are not the way you think they should be and the way God said they should be. You're wondering why God's power is not in effect, why God's blessing is not in effect. Maybe it's because you're not responding to the Lord, or maybe it's because you men are not responding to God the way you should. You see, when a person responds to God in the way that he is, and the fact that he is the Lord, he is the King, he is the Savior, he is the one who did everything for you, that response is out of love. And that love should be and is what motivates you to do everything you do. And that's what draws people and causes them to ask of the hope, what is in you that makes you the way you are. Now, we all make mistakes. We're not perfect. But the point is that we wonder why our relationships don't go well. But our thoughts and our actions don't always portray what God has set forth and what God's thoughts and plans and will is. So we react in certain ways. You can't draw people to the Lord. You can't be a good leader until you're a good follower. Or better than that, let me just say this. Stan said one time, and I've meditated this for many years now, that you're not a husband until your wife says you're a husband. But what are you saying? I'm saying that once again, just because you stand in a car and stand in a garage and call yourself a car, it does not make you a car. You can have the perception, well, I'm a husband, but you know what? That doesn't make it so. But when you're motivated by God and you're led by God and you love God, that love is going to demonstrate what's in you, and it's going to attract your wife and your children and let them know who's truly the centerfold of your life, the center point of your life. And as a result, the response is going to be harmony and blessing, but also your family and your friends in friendship relationships, seeing and following and respecting God, and as a result, respecting you because you respect and follow God. Am I making any sense, or am I losing you? See, when the Bible says in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen." He's talking, first of all, about your own house. Your own house. See, God created women to desire headship. Now, I didn't write this. You want to get mad, ladies? You want to get mad? You get mad at God. I didn't write this. God is the one who said this. That's the way he created us. The man to be under him, led by him, obedient to him, and then setting that example that Jesus and the Father set so that the life that we live in our families and in the natural will demonstrate the supernatural, and there will be harmony and blessing in your homes and your relationships. But God has to be the head. Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of man, and man is the head of woman. Now, I'm not talking about subservience. And men, I'm going to tell you right now, when God says to rule in your own house, he's not telling you to rule over. He's telling you to rule for. What does that mean? That means as men, we have to rule for the good of. We have to love our wives and others the way Christ loved the church. Now, he talks specifically about marriage in the last in Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians, Philippians. He's talking specifically about marriage, but it also comes into all relationships. And so as we serve him, as we praise him, as we worship him and set the example, then what's going to happen? There they are. He comes in and he makes things the way they should be. And when that happens, you will have, ladies, you will have a desire for your husband that is godly and will also be demonstrated to your children, because the first love of your house and the one who's really the person who's the head of your house is not you, men, but it's God. Are you with me? It's God. The reason, let me just tell you, what happened was a plan of the enemy. probably started before the 60s, but in the 60s, what happened is we had all this women's lib, you know, things, all of this stuff where they're going and burning bras and all this kind of stuff. And that was a plan of the enemy. And thus statements came out, "Here, I am woman, hear me roar." And the reason that happened is because men were not living up to their potential and living up to the standard that God had set for them. Why was that? Because God wasn't the head of their house. God wasn't the real head. See, we need to understand, like we talked about in the offering this morning, that God has entrusted things to us. I told Harry Wednesday night, I quoted a scripture that says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord." God instituted these things and He put them as blessings. They are gifts to Him. Everything you have, everything you are, is God's. You owe Him. You're not your own. The Bible says you were bought with a price. So you owe Him respect. You owe Him reverence. Not a question, "Well, but He doesn't." You know why people don't treat other people right? It's because they don't treat God right, and they're not right with God in their lives. Are you with me? See, for you to really celebrate God, God has to be at the very highest place in your life. There can be nothing else, nothing more important, no one more important. Now, I know human nature. When I say that, that means that God has to be head even above your wife, men. And sometimes that doesn't sit well with our flesh. "Well, wait a minute, I'm His wife." Uh-huh. You're a daughter of God. And for Him to honor you and respect you and treat you in the way that you should be treated, He has to honor and respect God. And then what's going to happen is you're going to set the example and cause the motivation for the wife to finally say, "This is my husband." Why? Because you are treating her the way God treats you and the way He wants to treat you. If you don't feel God's treating you right, you know where the problem is, right? Oh, come on now. Don't sit there like you're all stone. It's because you're not treating Him right. Because your relationship with Him is not right. Say amen or oh me. This is not a condemning message this morning. It's not. But the point is, we need to see how the enemy gets in. That's what caused all the dissension between men and women. That's what caused women to leave the order that God said, is because we didn't do what we said. Now, the same can be said about the church. This country, this society in the world that have rejected God have brought about the calamities and the degradation of society and our systems to the point that they are because the church did not stand up and do what they should do. And as a result, what's happened is we've seen things come to the point where we've taken, you know, we've not lived up to what we should be in the Word as men, women, and children. And so as a result, the enemy stepped in, and other men have come in and said, and this is what brings them to the point where they say, I don't believe in God. And yet in their heart, they know there's a God. Why? Because you were created by Him. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. Are you some of they? Are you the they? Yeah, you are. Amen. So men, for you to be able to do what you need to do, to cause your wife to be what she needs to be and to respond to you in the right way, you need to serve the Lord and you need to make things right with God if they're not. Otherwise, this is where the calamity and the problems come from. It's got to start someplace. And it's time we as Christian men stood up. You know, I heard a scripture quoted this morning, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Scripture says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." See, where you are right now, again, we're not trying to beat an old horse to death, but the truth is the truth, and you can't run from it. You can't hide from it. If my people, are you His people? Well, you are. If you said, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. I love you. I make you my Savior. And now I give my life to you," then you're His people. Didn't take an act of Congress. Didn't take some special court proceeding or some special license. It's a free gift from God. And all it takes is receiving it. Amen? You can change your destiny by the decisions you make every day. You can change your life and the lives of others by the decisions you make every day. When a man says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," that means that he's ruling in his house, he's doing what God wants him to do, and he's surrendered to God's will. You want your wife and your children to be submitted to you, men? Submit to God. Cast down your vain imaginations and those crazy, silly things that exalt themselves, those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And once again, another scripture says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." Now, maybe today you've made some mistakes, but this is not the end. We were having a discussion earlier this morning about perfection. We're not perfect. We're working towards perfection. Amen. Amen. That's right. We're working towards perfection. We've got to run the whole race in order to get the prize. You can't run half a race and think you're going to win a prize, can you? You got to run the whole race if you're willing and you're obedient. So, men, you want submissive wives and submissive children? Submit to God. You've got to submit first. God doesn't rule over you. He rules for you. He's got your best interest in mind. Amen? Now, in His order, and I'm just going to touch on this briefly, in His order, if you're not married, then your covering is the church. If they're doing what God tells them to do and they're doing it right, your covering is the church. And the church is not here to rule over you, but to guide you, to lead you, to motivate you, to mold you, and get you in the place, in the direction you need to go, and to help you along the way as you go. Amen. Amen. Praise God. See, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you can do exactly what the Scripture says when it says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." See, I've seen both sides of the spectrum. I've seen those who think that you don't spank the child because you'll hurt their psyche or you'll do this. God says if you spare the rod, you hate the child. I didn't say that. God said that. How about y'all? I'm going to believe Him. Dr. Spock is not smarter than God. And these other so-called experts are not experts if they don't include the wisdom of God. Amen. I like that. Amen. I'm going to do it God's way. The Bible says if you beat the child with a rod. Now, we're not talking about actually taking a rod and beating a child. But when you train a child, that means you train him. You take the time to show him. I would encourage all of you to, if you don't have it, rent it or ask somebody, or maybe we'll show it again. Look at the movie Courageous. See, we talk about laying blame, or not laying blame, but accepting responsibility. Thank you, Lord. Not laying blame, but accepting responsibility for the way things are. The church has to accept responsibility that they failed. They've taken their eye off the ball, if you will, or they've taken their eye off of their first love. And then the reason families are so messed up is because you're not submitted to and surrendered to God, and you've taken your eye off the ball. Then you wonder why children run and rebel and why they do the things they do. Negative attention is better than no attention at all. Amen. Amen. And that's why children react the way they do. It's because they see you react the way you do to God and to the things that are right. Nobody wants to accept responsibility today. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm accepting my responsibility as a man before God, as a father before God, blessed with gifts of children and grandchildren. Blessed. Did you hear me? I have a responsibility. But I also, as a man of God, called of God, I have a responsibility to you to tell you the truth. And to tell you the things that sometimes may not be comfortable, but that will change your life for the better. Are you with me? And you see, the Bible says, I can't remember the exact scripture. Anyway, the latter part of it says, this is your reasonable service to God. Reasonable service. Maybe you're a man and you're sitting there saying, but God, how do I do that? Bill, how do I do that? Surrender to God, get in His Word, and ask Him to help you. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one who leads you and guides you by the Holy Spirit into all righteousness. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. What would happen if we, in this little church, got our lives in order and did things the way God said to do them, put our petty silliness and our petty likes and dislikes aside, said, God, I'm going to obey you if a hair lips Congress. How many would like to see Satan with a hair lip? I mean, man, I got a vivid picture of that in my mind. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I can tell you right now, as we humble ourselves before the Lord, as we pray and seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, if we'll start right here, it starts right here with us. Don't think about those people out there, because unless we've got it right, we can't go out there and tell them anything. We are the examples. And it's not your words that's going to change their lives. It's your lifestyle. It's the way you live. Do you believe what you read? Do you believe what the Lord says? If you do, you're going to demonstrate, and it's going to be shown in everything you do and everything you say, the way you act, the way you walk, the way you conduct yourself, the way you carry yourself. Amen? Deuteronomy 3:31-6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. Did you hear me? Now hear the word? He will not leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you, and even until the end of the age, the end of the earth. So when you're surrendered to Him and you're following Him, then things are going to go right. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to spill out. First of all, we're going to see a change right here. Then we're going to see a change start to take place out there. And wherever we go, we're going to hear people, as it says in Scripture, rise up and call us blessed. Call you and I. They're going to rise up and say, see, and call. Children are going to call their mothers blessed. Wives are going to bless their husbands and be a compliment to them, not a, if you will, an albatross or a weight around their neck. See, one of the things we like to do is point a finger and say, well, somebody else's fault. Did you see what they did? Oh, will you tie it outside? If people are responding to you in that way, then you better consider how you're acting. And that's for everybody. If you're not liking what's happening to you in your life, then you better stop and think about and check out what you're doing. If you're not at fault, praise God. Then God will deal with the people who are wrong. But you got to make sure your life is right. Let me tell you, when the Bible says that we can't see clearly to take the speck out of somebody else's eye because we have a log in our eye, I'm going to remind you one more time that that's a lifetime process, which means you will never see clearly enough to take the speck out of somebody else's eye. And I guarantee you, whether you like it or not, whether it's comfortable or not, if things are not going right in your life, it's because of you. And that means even the way people respond to you. If people are mistreating you, go back and look at how you're treating God. Is He the love of your life? Is He at the highest place in your life? Do you have the same joy today as the day you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life? Now, maybe for some of you, you did it. You didn't know exactly what happened, but as time went on, you began to see, and you began to fall in love with Him, and you began to know who He was, and you began to see the good things of God take place in your life and the blessings. That's why we have to examine ourselves all the time. See, for things to go in progression the way they're supposed to, the way God designed them, we have to start with ourselves. David made that very clear in Psalms and Proverbs. Start with ourselves. And if we're doing what we're supposed to do, if we've surrendered to the point, how many of you here would be honest enough with me to say that, hey, you know what, there's still some things that I haven't surrendered? I see the nods of the heads and the hands. Amen. Thank God for the truthfulness of you people. But we're working towards that. Amen. And as long as we're pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, we're going to get there one of these days. When do we win the race? When He comes back or when He says, come on and be with me. Amen. See, y'all know me well enough to know that I don't speak from where I'm at, but where I want to get to. So I'm not talking to you like it's all you and it's not me. I'm not doing that. You know that. Let's move on. Let's go. go back to friendship and the things that happen in our lives and our relationships. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I'll remind you that a friend or a brother is one who loves you even though they know you. You hear me? Because that love transcends any wrongdoing that you could do. That sounds like somebody else I know, doesn't it? Are you with me? Now, who does that sound like? That's right. The Lord Jesus, the Father. They love you even though they know who and what you're really all about. If that doesn't make you want to celebrate God, I don't know what will. Imagine the God of the universe sitting up there knowing before you're ever born every mistake you're ever going to make, every sin you commit, you're going to commit. But he also sees the triumphs and the motivation and the things that keep you going and keep you on the right track or put you on the right track. And that's what he looks at. He's not imputing your sin to you anymore. He's there saying, I'm here to help you. I'm here to cause you to walk in the right way. I'm here to teach you, to tell you, to speak to you and show you this is the way. Walk in it. And we don't deserve it. If we knew half of what God knows, if we knew a fraction of what God knows, we'd probably throw our hands up and say, they're hopeless, that's it, move on, next. Oh, don't shout me down. Come on. See, the reason we have a weight and the reason we should be celebrating him is because he's told us he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to salvation, to eternal life, and to abundant life. He is the truth that sets you and I free, that makes you free. And if you're free, then the Bible says you're free indeed. You know, as I read these scriptures, nowhere do I see if you feel like it. In the natural, the law is the law. And if you make up your mind one morning when you get up, well, I'm not going to follow that law today, and you get in trouble, hello? Who's to blame? Well, that judge, that policeman, that whoever. No. No. Choose you this day who you will serve. If God's God, then serve him. If something else is God, then go and serve it. God said, I want you cold or hot. I don't want you lukewarm. Well, today I'm going to do this and this and, you know. No. You're either in or you're out. I think that was made clear in the movie Fireproof. You're either in or you're out. It doesn't mean along the way you won't make a mistake. But God's there with his hand outstretched to pick you up and get you back on your way. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but rises up again. Are you righteous today? Are you righteous in God? Has Jesus become your righteousness? Then you're righteous. It didn't say you were perfect. It says you're righteous. You're in right standing with God. Do you understand? Right standing with God. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that means obedience to his every word to the best of your ability. What you can't do, he's there to help you along. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. He didn't come and then go just to leave us alone. But he sent the one to be the example and to teach us, to guide us, to motivate us, to comfort us, to give us revelation so that we can do what we need to do as individuals. See, we are individuals, but we have an impact on everybody else's life as individuals. In the institution of marriage, a husband has a way to impact his wife and children for good or for bad. You want to know why you're nagged at men, why you're having problems? Maybe it's because of the way you're mistreating your wife. You're not responding to your wife in the right way. You're not washing her with the water of the word. You're not protecting her. But there's responsibility on both sides. It's not just on the man. When a man's trying to do everything he knows to do, and he's not trying to rule over you, but he's trying to rule for you, then you need to have the respect and need to understand that you can make the man a success or a failure. That's the way God made it. Your actions, your words are going to show him if he's blessed and he's revered Or they're going to show him, man, this, we're just spinning our wheels. Please understand, I'm going to say it again, this is not to pick on anybody. This is a statement that God put in my heart. And to show us where we went wrong in the 60s and some of the nonsense that went on there. Popping pills are going to make us happy. Popping pills are going to, and all it did was take many, many lives. Take many lives. Destroy lives. And instead of making them what they wanted to be and what they thought they could be, it impoverished them. It took their abilities. Played right into the devil's hands. Forgive us, Lord. He is your way to salvation. Romans 8:8-10 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It didn't say possibly or maybe. It said you will be saved. And verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. He's the way to salvation, the way to an abundant life, the way to everything that's needed in your life. And he says, not one good thing would he withhold from us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not one good thing. See, if we'd stop worrying about how everybody else is treating us and look at how we're treating other people, you know what? We'd be well on our way to fulfilling 2 Chronicles 7:14. Getting before God and acknowledging, God, I've missed it. I messed up. Start doing what he says. What a concept. Is it really that easy, Bill? Just do what God says and things will go better? Uh-huh. Yeah. I guarantee it. I know because I'm walking it out in my own life. You notice I didn't say past tense. I said I'm walking it out in my own life. He is the truth. The truth. What does the truth do? It sets you and I free. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then it goes on in another scripture to say, and who the Lord has set free is free indeed. Amen? One of the things we need to continually do, every one of us, is examine our own lives. See where we are. Goes back to the simple statements David made. Search me, O God, and know my ways. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me. And please, don't ever stand and say, but God, this is the way you created me. God did create you. But he created you for great things. And if he's there to help you, and if he has a purpose and a plan for your life, that means that he must be there to help you get to that place where that purpose and plan is fulfilled and lived out in your life. Amen? That's every one of us. No one today, even in churches, wants to accept responsibility for their actions. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's wrongdoing. Or as Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it wrong. Half the time the devil doesn't have to say anything. You just run and do what your old little flesh desires. Amen. Amen. So again, we need to consider our ways. He is the life. What life are we talking about? Hebrews 5:8 says, and having been perfected, he became the author. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who, what? Obey him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who is the joy that was set before us, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What life? He's your peace, your joy, your salvation, your provider, your deliverer, your reconciler, your redeemer. He's your healing. He's your mental stability. Amen? Kind of sounds like that song. I owed a debt that I could not pay. Or he paid a debt that he did not owe, and I owed a debt that I could not pay. Are you with me? We need to celebrate him. And in that obedience to him, we become and are what he says, more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Not in ourselves, through Christ who loved us. And what did he do? He gave himself for us. Maybe sometime this past week, maybe even today, before you came here, something happened. You said, well, that's the way you're going to be, just, you know. Let me ask you a question. If somebody said that to you, would you think they loved you? Or would you think you're just tolerated? That's why we need to cry out, create in me clean hands, a pure heart, renew a right spirit within me. The way you respond to other people is the way they're going to respond to you. If you set the example and you are the example, then they're going to follow that example. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's because of our inability as flesh beings to understand or conceive or perceive the love of God that we do the things we do. Amen. So if we're searching our hearts and we're looking to God, then what we're going to see is that things run right when we're right. Things go right when we're right. Are you with me? You still love me? You don't have a choice if you're going to walk with God. You don't have a choice. I got you there. Please know that messages like this come from the heart of God, the love of God. And he's not browbeating or pointing blame at anybody. He's reaching out saying, this is the way. Walk in it. This is the way you get what you desire. This is the way that your blessings come. This is the way that you can have harmony. You can have peace in this life because you serve and you follow him and you're willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Once again, for some of you, I'm just going to tell you, there was a time in my life when I had to pray, God, make me willing to be made willing to do your will. Did you see the way they treated me? God, did you see that? And you want me to do what? And then you wonder why there's no harmony. Maybe they did wrong. What did God forgive you for? What did God forgive you for? How many times have you done something that wronged somebody else? I'm not saying you did it deliberately. But how many times have you done things that have wronged people? And how would you feel if they treated you that way? See, I'm here to tell you that if I had done something and one of you turned on me, for whatever reason, whether I was guilty or not, I would be devastated. Why? Because I love you. And because if I'd have been aware that I had done something that hurt you, I could first of all come and ask you to forgive me, to repent before you and before God, to tell you that I'm sorry, that wasn't what I meant, and I had no deliberate intention of hurting you or wronging you. But wouldn't you like to have that same courtesy? Well, if that's the way they're going to be, good riddance. As you judge, you will be judged. There's too much at stake, folks. There's too much at stake. And we've got precious little time left. We've got precious little time left. Colossians 1:2 in closing. It says, giving thanks to the Father, listen carefully, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. What light? God's light. Amen. Hallelujah. We were once in darkness. If we're still walking in darkness in some areas, consider your ways. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Easter Sunday morning, we saw that first video of Carmen. The man who was standing there afraid when this saint was up making accusations. because that man was a born-again believer, the old man that did those things that Satan accused him of was dead and gone. When Jesus, his advocate, got up and he laid the defense out, then finally, God the judge opened the book. Remember what he saw? An empty page. Did you hear me? An empty page. Glory to God. I'm going to say something that's going to rattle some religious cages now. It's not what you do today. It's what you did the day you met Jesus that made all the difference in the world. But I'm going to tell you something. God never divorces anyone. But you can divorce Him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God's for you, who can be against you? Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, I've got this picture in my mind. This one little corner right here in Lakewood. And this group of wonderful people. Aside. And we'd consider other people, never considering ourselves the way Jesus did. Hello, the way Jesus did when he went to the cross. Despising the shame, not considering the wrong that was done to him. You do realize that he could have called 10,000 angels, could have delivered him from the cross, and we'd still be on our way to hell. Amen? Amen. But he didn't do it because he didn't consider himself. He considered the Father, the Father's will. And he walked in the love that God put in his heart and that God demonstrated towards us. Even while we were yet still sinners, the reason Jesus went to the cross, loved us even while we were still sinners. He loved us and gave himself for us. Willingly. So today, I would ask you, can we lay down our petty, silly feelings? And make a commitment to God, not to one another, to God. Who's made a way for us to be in His image and likeness and tell Him, Father God, Lord Jesus, I want to look like you. I don't want to just look like you. I want to sound like you. I want to act like you. I want to be like you. Teach me to make others the most important thing in my life. Starting with you, Lord, first of all. And then those you've entrusted to me, Lord. Those who are blessings to my life, Lord. My wife, my children, my husband. And the family of God. And you watch and see if every need and every desire is not taken care of by God because you've crucified your flesh. Hello, you crucified your flesh. Amen. Amen. If you want to with me today say, Lord, I've made mistakes and I haven't done exactly what you want me to do. And I haven't always looked like you, but I want to look like you. And let's pray today, amen. If you want prayer, whatever you want to do, if you want to raise your hand, if you just agree, whatever you want to do. But don't go out of here today the way you came in. Amen. God directs us and corrects us. And when He corrects us, it's because He loves us. Earthly fathers that chasten us. But God God chastens us. And you know, sometimes our earthly fathers, it's not very pleasant. But when God does it, it's not comfortable because we feel the hurt that we cause God. But we hear Him say, this is the way, walk in it. Which is a demonstration of His love. It's a demonstration of His love. And He doesn't, like human beings, point out and say, man, do you know what you did? Do you know what you did? Like you need to be reminded. You're a child of God. You don't even have to have anybody say anything. You know. Hallelujah. How many want to be free this morning? Hallelujah. How many want to walk in the fullness that God has? How many want to see their circumstances and their lives change in relationships and everything they do? I can promise you, if you'll do what I've shared with you today, you're going to see everything. You're going to see your jobs, your relationships, your attitudes, your encounters all change. And you're going to start to experience that, man, Kathy, I wish I was like you. How can I be like you, Kathy? What is it about you? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we stand here as your family, Lord. Those who are committed to you, committed to your word, committed to follow you and to observe all that you say, to diligently listen and obey to you, Lord. Let us be the starting place, Lord. Let it be right here, right now, with each one of us as we make a commitment to you that we'll be the catalyst that starts a change in this world, accepting responsibility for things that we know we're partly to blame for. We may not be the total problem, but we're not the solution because we haven't done it your way. So, Lord, forgive us for that. We repent. We confess our sin and forsake our sin to you, Lord, our disobedience. Lord, we want to be that example, that shining light. We want people to drive by this place and see the glory of God shining from the rooftop, Lord. We celebrate you today, the author, the finisher of our faith. You've given us the measure of faith. You authored it. Now you're finishing it, Lord. We're confident of this one thing, Lord, that you have begun a good work in us, and you are performing that work until the time of the return of Jesus, or we go to meet with you. Whatever comes first, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your goodness, for your plans and thoughts for us. Have an expected end, Lord. An expected end. A good end. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us. Set us free. Heal us, Lord. Thank you for your deliverance from physical infirmity this morning for every person in the sound of my voice and those who would be without the sound of my voice from this CD, Lord. We thank you for their healing, that you paid the price. By your stripes, we are healed. We were healed. So we walk in health. We thank you, Lord, for financial blessings coming, Lord, prosperity to come. Prosperity not meaning maybe the wealth of the world, but, Lord, more than enough. Enough to meet the needs we have, but also to be able to bless and give to others so that we can fulfill that promise, Lord, that we could give to you your tithes, the tenth it all belongs to you anyway. Lord, that we give the offerings over and above the tithes that will cause blessings to flow in our lives, Lord. We believe that today. Thank you, Lord, for peace, for harmony in our lives, and for that spilling out into other lives. Being secure, Lord, in you. That's what we all seek, Lord, is security. We thank you that we are secure in you. We are whole in you. It means we are completely complete in you. We lack nothing. We want for nothing more. Thank you that you're working on our behalf. And you know, Lord, the things we need before we ever ask, because you are our provider. And you supply our need according to your riches, not our riches, in glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Are all hearts clear? Are all hearts clear this morning? Is there anything else that we need to pray about? Praise the Lord. Lord, you know, we lift her up. Father, I first of all thank you for the example that this lady sets. Lord, that she's not afraid to put you out in public, Lord, to let people know who she is and who she serves. Father, right now I thank you for what you've done in her son's life. And Lord, I want you to remind her that it's because of her faithfulness, Lord. It's because she's yours, Lord, that the blessings follow, even to her children, Lord. So, Father, right now we lift up this daughter of Jerry's, Lord. Is that right, daughter? Jerry's daughter. And we thank you, Lord, that what the enemy has meant for harm is turning to good, that you're there and you're completely healing her. She walks in health. We send your word to her right now. In the physical healing, we look for the spiritual healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the restoration, that you are the restorer and the reconciler, and that there's restoration and reconciliation in the relationship between Jerry and Kathy and the kids, Lord, and their children. We thank you for the blessings of the grandchildren, Lord. We thank you, Lord, it's done in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, even now, Lord. And we consider it done. Hallelujah. In the wonderful name, the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. I can see that. All right. Let me remind you, the scripture says a righteous man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. And God says in Jeremiah 29:11, Mama knows this, that his thoughts for you are good and not for evil. Thoughts that prosper and not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. But you got to serve him. You got to give your life to him. And consider others. Amen. And when you do that, there is no stopping you. There is no stopping you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this young man. Thank you for a commitment to you. Thank you for the blessing that he is. And we just thank you that his steps are ordered by you. You've made him righteous, Lord, because you're in his life. And we just give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name for all you're doing. And for all the things you have set before him in every part of his life and the life of his family. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anything else? And Father, bless our time of fellowship. Go with these people, Lord. Thank you that your face shines upon them. Your countenance is lifted up towards them, Lord. They're blessed. We just sanctify the food and the fellowship in Jesus' name. We give you praise and thanksgiving for this day. Amen.